This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
So as of this recording, here we are in 2025. We're 5 years post-COVID pandemic, and a lot has changed in the healthcare standpoint, even in the delivery of care. And as you have noticed over the past couple of years, there has been a growth and then a slight decline in the development and presentation of what are called digital health solutions, telerehab, digital health. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to talk a little bit more about the current landscape in the digital health space, what that looks like for you as a patient, what it's like from an access standpoint in regards to your health plan, and then some specific strategies to help you maximize the interactions that you have with your medical team, whether it be virtually or in person. Joining me on today's podcast is Dr. Crystal Soditis, who's a physician and also is part of a health plan as well, but she was really kind enough today to share with us her experience and some of the changes in the digital healthcare space. So, Crystal, it's so great to see you, and thank you so much for being back on the podcast.
It is great to be back.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I remember when you reached out, you said, "Hey, we should talk about digital musculoskeletal solutions." And I said, "That's fantastic. I know that the programs that I've made are one of many, but a lot of people still don't know what that looks like. And then also a lot has changed since the pandemic from a delivery of care as well as even a coverage standpoint. But before we get into it, tell us a little bit more about your background, the work that you do, and how you kind of fit into all this.
Yeah, so my name is Crystal Soditis. I'm a pediatrician and I'm a healthcare executive. I do work for a health plan, which means I work for one of many health insurance companies. I'm not here representing my company, so my views are my own. But I do have over 13 years of experience working for health insurance. And as part of my role now is I have a big responsibility in determining what is covered, and not just sort of like this visit or that visit, but also on a more global scale, what kind of virtual visits, telehealth visits, appointments are we going to cover? And also, what other solutions to musculoskeletal illness are we in a position to offer to our members, your patients?
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit more. Let's take a deep dive and let's talk about digital health in itself. It's a big umbrella term, right? So number one, what is digital health? Number two, what is telerehab, right? And then we'll start off with what it looked like prior to 2020, during 2020, and what it looks like today. We'll start off with just digital health in general.
Yeah. So, you know, digital health is, you know, a very broad topic that, you know, basically incorporates, when we think about it, it really is solutions for, in this case, a musculoskeletal illness that incorporates a technological component to it. So it could be virtual health, and virtual health also can be once more split into synchronous. So that's a health that's being taken care of by your practitioner at the same time that you're talking to them, or asynchronous, which is kind of when we think of like sending a message, right? You send a message and they send a message back. It also happens on the provider side if the provider needs to do some research or reach out to other people, talk to other providers that are taking care of the same person. That's also part of telemedicine, and that is what we call asynchronous. But for most of the people listening, they're really interested in that synchronous virtual health, which can happen either just over the phone or can happen on a video call or on a video visit. Then we go ahead.
I was going to kind of kick off. So we know, like, here we are in a super digital age. What was it like before COVID, because everyone was forced into the digital space at the COVID pandemic. But what was it like before? Was it adopted by many people? Was it fringe? Tell us a bit more about that.
It was pretty fringe. And part of the reason why it was so fringe is because health insurance companies were very slow in their willingness to pay for the visit. It required very complicated sets of coding. Coding is how we determine if something is going to be covered and for what reason it's going to be covered. And it was very complicated to appropriately cover a visit so that that provider could get paid. And that was a big reason why it just didn't have very much uptake.
And so here we go, transition into the 2020s, right? And the world, in essence, shut down, but people still needed medical care. So there had to be a lot of pivots. What's interesting is that, very much like technology, when things happen very fast, it's great because you can implement change, but then also a lot of things broke very quickly mm-hmm. as well. So tell us a little bit more about what that landscape looked like in 2020.
Yeah. So those early days of COVID was, to say the least, chaotic from a coding and billing perspective, and just trying to figure out how much hands-on does a provider have to do in order to legitimately bill for a code. There were some codes that didn't exist. In those first weeks, because I sat in on a lot of those committee discussions, there were weekly updates to the coding system. And there was a lot of discussion with, you know, provider groups about how can we do this? How can we take a history or hear about the patients, you know, what they're experiencing, and do that separately from a physical exam and still get paid? That was mostly under the preventative care, like well child visits and adult well visits. So all of those discussions, they were happening just on a daily basis, and eventually it calmed down. But really, the best word to describe those first few weeks was just sort of chaos. And there was a lot of changes. And in the end, you know, it got done, maybe a little sloppily, but it got done.
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic itself was a very unprecedented time, which created a huge shift in how people operate. And so let's talk about now, what it looks like now. Because here we are a few years down the road, technology has continued to improve, and there are some big players in the digital health space. So what does the landscape look like nowadays?
I would say, though, you know, as I said, even though it was chaotic, what we eventually landed on was very solid. And so I think that a large number of people saw the benefit of being able to speak to their provider electronically and not have to go in person. It's very similar to what happened with work. Many companies who felt that there was no way that they could function with a majority of their employees at home realized, well, wow, this actually can work, and maybe it works even better. We've sort of come back from that now, where we know it's all over the headlines that more and more employers are asking their employees to come back to work. Same thing, where a lot of people after COVID saw the benefit, and a lot of physicians saw the benefit of seeing their patients electronically or on a virtual visit, but now we're seeing it come back. We're not at the same level. We're not anywhere close to the same level we were pre-pandemic, but I think for the vast majority of physicians, televisits has really decreased. I think I've heard numbers as to, you know, it encompasses like 25% of their total visits. But I also know that there are some providers, especially like behavioral health, that 90% of their visits are televisits.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, the world is open around you. You can see people in person. There is a huge benefit to being there in person. Actually, prior to this recording, I was actually at my own wellness visit where I was there in person. And I can't tell you the last time I actually had like a full-on physical where someone actually came in and just like, you know, listened to my breath, blood, like, and just like looked at everything, right? And I think that there's a huge benefit. But also, what's hard is that I booked this appointment 3 months ago. And so what that meant was I had to wait for an in-person appointment just because of the fact that they needed the time for the room, they needed the room, needed the designated time to be able to conduct that. And so that's from like the health. So let's kind of zero in a little bit more in the musculoskeletal and rehab space, because a lot of people look at the physical therapy profession like, well, how do you do this online? And the reality is that, again, we didn't really have any choice but to do it online. And now we're at this point where you're having both digital solutions and then you have in-person. So from what you've seen in the tele-rehab space, what have you observed in regards to like what patients are going through and what that's like?
Well, I think when we're talking about tele-rehab, we want to be clear that this is someone who has a specific provider, physical therapy provider, who they may have seen and had their initial assessment in person, and then has chosen to continue their rehab, you know, virtually. And the really, I mean, I'm going through physical therapy myself right now, and the reality is that except for the soft tissue work that happens at the beginning, my physical therapist doesn't really touch me very much at all. It's all observing my technique. Now, I think the challenge is making sure that the patient has the right equipment so that the therapist can see them well and see what they're doing well so that they can assess. And that may take practice too from the physical therapist standpoint. They might need practice being able to see somebody from, you know, a small screen. And do they have the appropriate equipment that they need, or are they needing to use their personal cell phone in order to do it? So I think that I don't think that it's utilized very much for those reasons, that, you know, lack of skill and comfort on the side of the practitioner, and also the patient themselves not having the appropriate equipment.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. And when we look at it from a rehab standpoint, physical therapy encompasses a large group of patients. And so someone asked me the other day, it's like, well, how does the digital thing work? Like, would it be good for me? And I often like to say, usually for the most part, and I'll just say it from my end with being spine and sciatica focused, if you're not coming off of a surgery, if you don't require hands-on in regards to your like balance training, like if you're someone who wants to work on reducing their risk of falls, you might want to go to someone in person for that, because you're going to have that hands-on making sure that someone can catch you in the event that you lose your balance. I've known some pediatric physical therapists who've actually worked with folks virtually, like back when they had no choice, but I know some of them are actually still doing that. They teach the parent, which then translates on over to the child. And then I would say for the most part, the world is pretty open for tele-rehab. You're absolutely right. Not every physical therapist is going to need to provide hands-on, and not every patient is going to need hands-on as well. I think the big success to anything, especially the world that I work in, which is primarily pain, it's not just exercise form and execution, but it's also exercise selection. And in order for us to be able to do that, we as physical therapists need to be able to set aside time to actually interview you in a quiet mm-hmm. space. I think that's one of the great things too. One of the huge benefits when you're working in a digital health space is that when I'm talking with you, I'm talking with you. I'm not in a gym where there's 3 to 4 other patients who are trying to get my attention, or there's like 3 or 4 other aides in the area. So you're getting a little bit more of that individualized attention. One of the biggest benefits that I found that I've observed from an operation standpoint is the fact that it also costs a lot less to, say, provide a virtual visit, because of the fact that maybe some practitioners don't necessarily have to rent out a space. But then also, the cost to actually deliver care is a lot less too, because of the technology. Like, instead of having to pay, you know, $3,000 to $4,000 on some sort of like, you know, 2,000 square foot space, you can be in a single office working with multiple patients, and your only fixed expense would just be like the technology, which the technology itself, the softwares, like whether it be Zoom or like any other video platforms out there, are pretty cheap to begin with. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of the really big benefits from the patient standpoint on the use of digital health and like tele-rehab or like these musculoskeletal solutions virtually.
Yeah. So, I think from a tele-rehab standpoint, you know, the benefit is obviously time, you know, transportation. You can do it. It's a lot easier to do it sort of like in the middle of your day. It's very hard to get the appointments at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, but if you can be allowed to have, you know, 45 minutes during your day, that in place of your lunch hour, you can have your tele-rehab appointment, then that's a huge benefit. You don't have to worry as much about getting childcare. And if you do need childcare, it doesn't take as long because you're not accounting for all of the transportation time. So I think you're in the comfort of your own home. It is private. Like you said, like you can be in a large gym area with 5 or 6 other people, and perhaps you're talking about some sensitive issues that you don't want anyone to be able to overhear. So I think from a patient perspective, there's a lot of.
I am glad you brought up comfort in your home, privacy, and even just convenience. When I work with people virtually, yeah, we can plan it throughout the day. In fact, sometimes I'll actually meet them virtually in their office because a lot of the people that I work with have issues and pain when they're at work. And so it's actually, I think what's great is the fact that when you're everywhere, you can truly be anywhere and you can actually be with that person in that environment that is causing them the pain, right? And so I've done a lot of ergonomical assessments while they're in the office. So then that way we can make those changes real time and they can say, we make this change. Oh, I feel a lot better. And then that way it really accelerates the problem solving process, right? And then 100% privacy. The reality is that none of us want to experience these medical issues. And some of these medical issues can kind of come up with some pretty sensitive information. And mm-hmm. So if you're a relatively private person and don't want the world to listen to it, it makes it a lot better.
Exactly.
You brought up this synchronous, right? We're talking about things in real time, right? And then I find a huge value. That's where our sessions come into play. But then you brought up asynchronous, right? Where there's a little bit of a time delay. So one, what does that look like? And what are some of the benefits to that versus say a synchronous type of relationship?
Yeah. So when it comes to tele-rehab, I think mm-hmm. the asynchronous really comes into some of what I call the musculoskeletal digital health solutions that are out there that are almost pre-rehab. So these are often applications that are available through your health plan or your health insurance company, where before someone may need to go to in-person physical therapy, they are able to get set up with, you still see a physical therapist virtually. There may even be an associated coach, who is a separate person, and you are set up with an exercise program through the app. And all of the there's videos, there's times, you can get reminders to...
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
You do your exercises, you can set goals, and a lot of these, I think, are a really, really viable solution for people who maybe are experiencing the first signs of, back pain or sciatica, that they don't want to go to the physical therapist, they don't want to go to the doctor to necessarily start to go through the process of being approved for physical therapy. Remember that for most people, physical therapy sessions are approved through their health insurance company, and you need a referral, and there's multiple steps to it. And so these digital health solutions can also help, but they are almost 100% asynchronous, meaning that you do your exercises at home on your own, and then you meet intermittently with the physical therapist and the coach, who the coach doesn't look at your physical therapy exercising at all, the physical therapist may.
Yeah, 100%. It's great to have these solutions available. And I know that through my wife's company, because I'm on her insurance, I know that we have a lot of different benefits that I didn't even know of. But me being in the rehab space, I learned a lot about the various different big players. And so the three main players in the musculoskeletal space right now, you're looking at Omada, Hinge, and Sword, where they're having physical therapists, coaches kind of delivering through this. And it seems like they're having some direct contracts with employers. So for you listeners out there, you might actually have some of these benefits already given to you through your employer. You might have actually been receiving some mailers in your mailbox about the various different services. But Crystal, how can the listeners like find out about the various different benefits that they have? I know for me as a physical therapist, whenever it's October and it's like open enrollment day, I got to figure out all the cool new perks. But even when we transition jobs, there's a lot of really cool things that employers, especially the larger companies, provide for their employees, but people just don't know about it. So how can someone who's part of an organization learn more about the different programs that are available to them?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do is to call the customer service number and just ask. Say, you know, what might be available? I'm having, you know, some back pain. I'm having some sciatica pain. I'm wondering, is there a virtual solution or an app that the health plan offers? It might be available in the documents when it is open enrollment time. But we're a few months, as we're recording this, we're several months from open enrollment. And so I think the best thing for people to do is just look at the back of their insurance card and call that number.
Awesome. Yeah, because I think about it is like if you look at the typical journey of someone who is experiencing pain, they usually kind of go through one of two ways. Option number one, they go through Dr. Google, they find podcasts and all that other stuff, really great resources. But then the other option, if it doesn't work, is they go to their doctor and their doctor comes and evaluates them and says, okay, you need to go to physical therapy. At that point, they're told, okay, you need to go to this. And they don't, once the patient leaves, they're not really quite sure where to go. Maybe they're going to talk to a couple of their friends. Maybe they'll go and look into their insurance. But if you go into your insurance website, I know for me, our private insurance, it's a little hard to navigate. So I really appreciate you saying, give your insurance a call. And as you're right, like at the back of your insurance card, you actually have kind of like a concierge that you can call saying like, hey, I'm dealing with this. What can I do? And say, what are the available options for me? Which I think is very great. And so let's talk about the other end of the spectrum. You know, digital health, telerehab is really fantastic, but there's some limitations to it. And especially in a world where now we can see people in person, where do you find the limitations are for digital health?
Well, specifically for the apps that we're talking about, it is easy to ignore. It's easy to just not do it. Because there's no accountability. Yes, you have an appointment with your coach and you have your physical therapist, but in between that, it's not like you have an appointment with your physical therapist and there isn't accountability like, oh, I can't miss my appointment. Like, I don't want a no-show. There may even be a monetary, like if you no-show, you get charged a fee. So that's an external accountability that gets people to do physical therapy. With many of these apps, there's not that. You know, yes, you can set it up so that you get notified, hey, remember to do your plan, but that's just a click away. That's just an ignore swipe away. I think that's the biggest drawback to most of these solutions. Some of them, they have the capability and the technology to be able to actually use your camera and help you to make sure that you have good form. There's a technical term for that that you may know. I don't know what that's called, but that doesn't work all the time. And so you may know better than I do is like, what is the actual risk of potentially injury from doing an exercise grossly wrong? It's probably minuscule, but there.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, when you're going to like an actual in-person appointment, that person's relying on you. They set aside that hour. And so it's, no one likes to cancel last minute, right? And even on the virtual standpoint. And Crystal, I appreciate your patience with me because last week we had to reschedule. I had some childcare things, but here we are, right? And so that's one. And also, number, you're absolutely right about like the accountability and the motivation. When you're kind of left to your own devices, unless you're really driven to doing things every single day, it's really easy to say, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow or I'm not going to do it. And it's a little bit different when you're actually like reporting to a person. I'm going to take a moment and just talk about the patient advocate program, listeners. you've heard me talk about it in other podcasts, maybe in like short blurs, but it's one of the newest additions to the digital services. So I work with clients virtually, but then, which is like a one-to-one basis, but then also I have my own asynchronous version. It's called the Patient Advocate Program. And really the idea is that we're texting back and forth, whether it be WhatsApp, SMS, or whatever messaging platform you find to be the most helpful for you. And from an asynchronous standpoint, we actually talk on a daily basis. You'll get a message from me at 7 a.m. Pacific time every single day to check in on how you're doing. But then based on what you say, the changes to actually help you get better, and whether it be we need to evaluate some video on how you're doing a specific thing, sending me pictures of your posture and what your car is like or anything like that, being able to address your needs in the time that you need them, but then also allowing you the space to come up with some questions and allowing me the space to be able to provide a really good detailed answer to your questions and going back and forth. And I think whether it be my program, which I find to be successful, it's right now it's $25 a week, just a subscription. You can check it out at ptpatientadvocate.com. Or the other digital solutions. I think what's really important in order for you to get the most out of your interactions is being able to truly communicate what you're feeling and how you're feeling it. Crystal talked about how important it is form, how important form is, and it absolutely is. I just interviewed a person last week on how even just some small tweaks to her lifting form made her pain go away. So that's one of the components, but it is important. And that's why I think it's so helpful to have that asynchronous messaging with any of these big platforms where you are able to communicate with your therapist or your coach saying, hey, things are working or things aren't working. And that's one of the big benefits from a therapeutic relationship. Because when you go see a physician, you go and you get evaluated and you see them probably in 6 to 12 weeks, most likely on the 12-week mark, right? And so you leave that appointment and it's really up to you, the listener, the patient, to actually go and make these appointments. So it's the same thing when you're working with a therapist, but you're seeing the therapist a little bit more often. Maybe you're seeing them once a week. Maybe you're talking to them every day, knowing that you have someone there to help you. But we can't help you. Us medical professionals can't help you if you're not telling us things. And so this goes on to the concept of medical literacy. And I think it's been something I've been really kind of thinking about for a while, because I was looking to my experiences with being a patient and how is that so different from other people's experience being a patient. And yes, I do know a fair amount, but you don't necessarily need to know everything in order for you to clearly communicate what you're dealing with. So then the doctor, the person in front of you, gets a better understanding. And so if we're looking at success strategies on how to be able to better communicate, and Crystal, you know, you're a pediatrician, when you're interviewing your patients and when you're even communicating as a patient, what are some of the things that you find to be the most successful to make sure that you're giving the information you need or getting the information that you need?
Yeah, that's a good question. Especially from a patient perspective, I think being, you know, really clear, you know, as clear and succinct as you can possibly be. I think that often we want to give a lot of context, and sometimes it's easy to get lost. As a provider, it's easy to get lost in the context and not really understand what the issue is. I also think from a physical therapy standpoint, being able to physically reproduce what helps or doesn't help and be able to show that to your provider is really important.
Hugely important. The things that help gives us providers an opportunity to say, well, what about that activity is helpful? Is it the position of your back? Is it the position of your shoulder? It starts opening up doors and closes other ones so we can start to really hone in on the solution. I find that another really important thing is the phrase, it's fine. When we hear, and I know for me, when I hear it's fine, whenever I'm testing something, I am interpreting that as there's no pain whatsoever. And usually when I hear someone say it's fine, I have to elaborate saying it's fine. What do you mean by that? And they'll say, well, I'm still experiencing pain here, but it's not making things worse. Okay. So it is important to be able to elaborate a little bit more about that. Oh, it feels okay. It feels fine. Try to be as descriptive as what you're feeling. And also when it comes to the pain that we experience, not only are we experiencing pain location, but we're also experiencing pain size, pain intensity, and then what Crystal was talking about, pain behaviors, because those different pieces is, it adds a part of what we call the clinical presentation, which then helps us decide, okay, what tools are going to be necessary to address what specific conditions. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Let's talk about the reimbursement and like how people pay, right? Because I know that Medicare, I think if I read things correctly, Medicare stopped reimbursing telerehab actually from the physical therapy standpoint. I think it was like this year or last year. And so one, you know, we don't have to speak on behalf of Medicare, but what are like what's the payment scenario looking like? Is it private insurances? Is it health plans through an employer? Is it self-pay? Tell us a little bit more about what that looks like.
Yeah. So this is one that, you know, this was mandated. There was mandated coverage during the pandemic. And this is one that health plans can now decide how they are going to reimburse and how they are going to pay the provider for the services that they are providing. I mean, I think for by and large, most commercial plans, if they cover it, they cover it on par with a in-person visit. The telehealth solutions that we were talking about, you know, the apps you mentioned, the Hinge and two others that I can't remember.
Sword and Omada.
Sword and Omada. So they should be free through your health plan. There should not be an additional cost. That is a health plan. That's the way they actually want to save money on physical therapy. So they actually, the goal is to get to people who are in pain before they even need physical therapy. Oh, you know, like I'm feeling a little, you know, stiffness in my hip. Let me utilize this. There's, you know, I know, for example, Hinge, that's the one I'm most familiar with. They also have a pelvic floor therapy program. And so perhaps they're able to get people off of their medications. That's going to save the health plan and you money. So the health plan will pay upfront for it so that it's no cost to the member, your patient, but then ideally it saves them money down the road and you.
Absolutely. So we have, I'm always intrigued and I wonder if it's being used interchangeably. We have health plan and then we have say like private insurance. I mean, usually private insurance is provided through an employer. Are they the same thing?
Basically, the health plan is the people who administer the health insurance. So health insurance is just how it gets paid.
How it gets paid. Okay.
And then the company that does it is your health plan.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then the people who kind of interact with the health plan are the people out in HR, I'm assuming, like the health benefits.
Yes.
People,
generally, like your employer, or they have someone in their HR department that does interact with the health plan. It could also be through the healthcare marketplace.
Yeah.
You're usually buying your health insurance from a health plan or a health insurance company.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for the clarification, because it's the more payers there are, the more confusing it can get for the patient or the person trying to seek out care, right?
Exactly.
And so I'm really appreciative of that. Crystal, this has been extremely eye-opening in regards to like showing the current lay of the land of what we're at in 2025, halfway through 2025, surprisingly enough. And things are just going to continue to evolve and improve. And so we're probably going to have to meet up in you know, a couple months from now to talk about what the current landscape looks like. But listeners, there are a lot of digital health solutions that are available to you through your health plan. And you can simply go and call your health plan and say, hey, what are my virtual options? I know that for my wife's companies, just simply reaching out, especially as we get closer to open enrollment. I mean, it's, you know, it's months from now to be able to see like, what do I have available to me? And I think it is important, especially if you have benefits, don't wait till you're hurt to start looking at what benefits you have. You have them there and it's already being paid for through your company or through your kind of like health insurance itself. So be able to access it and see what you have available. There are a lot of really cool platforms out there. Mine is just one of many. But again, it is important for you to be able to communicate with whoever you're working with. So then that way you communicate clearly So then that way the person that you're talking with, you're working with, knows exactly what's going on or has a better idea of what's going on. So that way you guys can work together on a solution, whether it be for sciatica pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, or even pelvic floor issues as well. Crystal, this has been super educational, and I'm so glad that you were able to take the time out of your day and share it with us. You actually have a new podcast that you would like to, that you are running. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so thanks. First, I love being here. So thank you so much for having me on again. So I have a new podcast. It is called Luxury Cruising, and it is for anyone who loves to cruise or just likes hearing about the finer things in life. And we cover all kinds of cruising, from big ships like high-end suites on Carnival and Royal Caribbean to teeny tiny, you know, luxury ships with only a few hundred people on board.
Amazing. Listeners, you know, it's really easy to get down the rabbit hole of reading every single thing that is wrong with you. I know that I do that for myself. It is important to be able to take a break now every now and then and like pursue something that is interesting and exciting. So if you did not get a chance to write down the podcast, I'm actually going to be putting a link to her show in the notes. Crystal, thank you so much again. It's good to see you.
Take care. Good to see you. Awesome.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.